لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد الحمد لله my dear respected brothers and elders محترم بأي دوست بزرگو We were going through this chapter باب الرجاء the chapter in regards to having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not becoming despondent and hopeless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah تو اس باب کے اندر ہم اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی پر امید باندھنے کے سلسلے میں امام نووی رحمت اللہ علیہ نے کچھ احادیث لائے ہیں So we just continue inshallah from where we left off بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وعن معاذ بن جبل رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ قال كنت ردف النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم على حمار You know if we swap that, this mic, put it in the other one, it should be a bit better. You know, if we pull that out and put it in the other one. Put it there, I can't hear me. If you pull it out and put it in the next one, it should be fine. No, just you know the socket, if we change the socket, it should be better. Just try it, inshallah. Inshallah. Should do the trick. No, just change the socket for now. وعن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كنت ردف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على حمار فقال يا معاذ هل تدري ما حق الله على عباده وما حق العباد على الله قلت الله ورسوله أعلم قال فإن حق الله على العباد أن يعبدوه ولا يشركوا به شيئا وحق العباد على الله ألا يعذب من لا يشرك به شيئا You wanna just try it? If we just stop it and try it. فقلت يا رسول الله أفلا أبشر الناس قال لا تبشرهم فيتكلوا متفق عليه Inshallah, brothers, just focus here. Yeah, it's okay. We'll just carry on with this, inshallah. So in this bab, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi is bringing those ahadith about having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, not becoming despondent, not losing faith. That's why this chapter is very important in this day and age. Because people enter this mayusi, depression, hopelessness very easily. And unfortunately, the way it works is that when a person is isolated, when a person is sheltered in a bubble, then they don't feel this hopelessness. But as soon as a person encounters certain situations, certain conditions in life, which they struggle with. As soon as a person goes through some problems in life, goes through certain halat, difficult situations, then what happens many times, it makes them upset with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't initially think that they're upset with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't initially think that they're upset with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They just think, I have all these problems, I have no answers to my problems. Pata nahi abhi kidhar jaun, kaha jaun, jo masail hai zindagi ke andar, inka hal samne nahi aa raha hai, pata nahi kya karun. So when this happens, then slowly but surely a person starts to point the finger at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala doesn't like me. Allah ta'ala doesn't love me. Allah ta'ala is not helping me. So we have this really big problem. I have a relative, he's a clinical psychologist or something, forgotten his professional term. But he says he meets so many Muslims on a daily basis who have stopped performing salah, stopped reciting Quran, don't want anything to do with the masjid. They say, Allah doesn't like me anyway. They have actually made this their psyche that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like me. And that in and of itself can lead to kufr and disbelief. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله لا تيأسوا من روح الله إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not lose hope in Allah's rahmah. Only the kuffar, someone who has left Islam, will lose hope in Allah's rahmah. It does not befit a Muslim, a believer, to lose hope in Allah's rahmah. Because when we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we all have recited Iman Mujmal. آمنت بالله كما هو بأسمائه وصفاته. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He is with His names and His sifat. And one of Allah's sifat is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafoor. These are all Allah's sifat and attributes and names. So if a person says Allah does not have rahmah, Allah does not have maghfirah, then we are taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat away from him. And this can lead to disbelief and kufr. So we don't just bring iman in Allah, we bring iman in Allah's sifat, His attributes, His names and qualities. That means we have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there to help the believers and always there to assist us and remove our hardships from our lives and to help us through difficult times. So Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu riwayat farmate hai, Urdu mein pehle tarjuma kar leta hun, ke main ek dafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke piche ek gadhe ke upar sawar tha, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne farmaya, ae Mu'adh, هل تدري ما حق الله على عباده؟ کیا تمہیں پتا ہے اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی کا حق اپنے بندوں پر اور بندوں کا حق اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی پر؟ تمہیں پتا ہے، تمہیں معلوم ہے؟ تو میں نے جواب دیا، اللہ و رسول اعلم، اللہ اور اس کے پیغمبر سب سے زیادہ علم رکھنے والے ہیں. تو پھر رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ بے شک اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی کا حق اپنے بندوں پر یہ ہے کہ اپنے بندے اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی کی عبادت کرے، وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا، اور اللہ تعالیٰ کے ساتھ کوئی شریک نہ ٹھہرائے، اور بندوں کا حق اللہ پر یہ ہے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ ان کو عذاب نہیں دے گا. لَا يُعَذِّبَ مَنْ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا، اللہ تعالیٰ اس شخص کو بالکل عذاب ہی میں مبتلا نہیں کرے گا جو اللہ تعالیٰ کے ساتھ شریک نہیں ٹھہراتا. مطلب اگر کوئی بندہ، کوئی مسلمان اللہ کے ساتھ شریک نہیں ٹھہراتا، اللہ تعالیٰ اس کو عذاب نہیں دیں گے. تو میں نے پوچھا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے، یا رسول اللہ، افلا ابشر الناس، کیا میں لوگوں کو یہ خوشخبری بتاؤں، یہ خوشخبر لوگوں کو میں دوں کہ اگر آپ اللہ کے ساتھ شریک نہ ٹھہراؤ تو اللہ تعالیٰ آپ کو عذاب میں مبتلا نہ کریں گے؟ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جواب دیا، لا تبشرهم، ان کو یہ بشارت خوشخبری مت دینا، چونکہ فیتکلو، پھر وہ اسی کے بھروسے پر عمل چھوڑ بیٹھ جائیں گے. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu narrates that I was once seated behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon a donkey. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, do you know what the rights of Allah over His servants are and the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So I replied, Allah and His Messenger know best. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, he stated that the rights of Allah over His servants, meaning the servant's haq, what the servant needs to do to fulfill the right of Allah, is that أَن يَعْبُدُوهُ. First of all, the servants need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, and they cannot associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عِبَادَةً, and staying away from shirk. And what are the rights of Allah over His servants? That Allah ta'ala has taken the responsibility of fulfilling these rights of His servants. اللَّهُ يُعَذِّبَ مَنْ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا, that anyone who does not associate partners with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish them. Allah's adab will not come upon them. So I asked, Ya Rasulullah, should I not give this good news to the people? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not give them this good news, otherwise they will become lazy and they will just rely on their deeds. They will just think, you know what, it's okay, we can do anything. And in the past we had many groups who actually deviated and left the belief of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and they started to say things like, there's no point doing any good deeds. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has already knows what we're going to do. So what's it like the Qadariya? You had these groups, Qadariya, Jabariya, these different groups that existed. Some of them said that, you know, insan, humankind, is not responsible for what he does because he's not in control. Allah has planned it. So it's Allah. Na'udhubillah, they're saying it's Allah's fault. If somebody does a sin, it's Allah's responsibility. Na'udhubillah. So that group was deviated. Another group would say things like, Allah doesn't know what you're going to do before you do it. So taking away the knowledge of the unseen from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a lot of groups were misguided in this regard. So the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is khaliqul af'al, and insan is kasibul af'al. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the deeds, and human beings, we carry out the deeds. Allah is the creator, is a khaliq. If you say Allah doesn't create the deed, then you're saying Allah's quality of creating, khilqiyya, is limited, is deficient. And Allah ta'ala is not deficient in the least. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the deeds, but the human beings do the deeds. We do our deeds, so we're responsible. Like no murderer can say, I don't know how the knife ended in my hand and I don't know how it happened. You were responsible. It was your, you know, you had the choice. You could either do a bad action or you could avoid it. So you can't say an unseen force made me do it unless somebody's possessed. In which case, bishara, he is not mukallaf, he is not responsible. Or if someone is insane, then they're not responsible. But otherwise, a normal human being who is sane in their senses, they are responsible. So as long as a servant worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not associate partners with him, worships Allah to the best of ability. We have to remember this taqwa, very high level taqwa. And that's why Allah ta'ala in the Quran says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. That adopt as much taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have the ability to do. Everybody is different. Every single human being, their isti'adad, their capabilities, their talents are different. No one person can be compared with someone else. One person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very easy for them. Fasting on Mondays and Thursdays, performing tahajjud salah, made it very easy for them to be inclined towards good deeds. Made it very easy for them to enjoy the tilawah of the Quran, dhikrullah, Allah's ni'mah. This is Allah's ni'mah, Allah's favor upon them. Another person, it's a bit difficult for them. Now we can't compare the two people because they're different. Now this person has enjoyment here, another person doesn't have enjoyment. Rather, where there is less enjoyment, there's more reward. Because when you do something for enjoyment, you're enjoying it. But when you do something where you're finding it hard to enjoy, but you still do it because you know it's the right thing to do, greater reward. The dalil of this, the evidence of this, is the hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions about two people who recite Quran. That a person, he recites the Quran, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَتَتَعْتَعُ بِهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ لَهُ أَجْرَانَ. The example of a person who recites the Quran, وَيَتَتَعْتَعُ بِهِ, he really struggles. وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ, is very burdensome for him to recite the Quran. He gets double the reward of a person who finds it easy. Allah Ta'ala gives reward according to مُجَاهَدَ. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Whoever does mujahada, strives. جب کسی چیز میں مشقت محسوس ہوتی ہے, کسی چیز میں تکلیف محسوس ہوتی ہے, اسی لیے, this is the reason why, اس میں اللہ تعالیٰ دگنا اجر نصیب فرماتے ہیں. اسی لیے نوجوان جو ہوتا ہے, a person who is a youngster, their reward is always multiplied. Because this is the age where you can do whatever you want to do. But you're not doing that. You're putting a foot on your nafs. And you're going and you're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're engaging in things which will bring the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have that understanding. The reward is far greater. To the extent on the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah will say to that youngster, that nojawan, that you were a young man, you could have done whatever you wanted to do. Your friends were doing everything. They were going on a holiday around the world. They were eating in France, French croissants one day, and they were eating Malaysian, whatever they eat in Malaysia another day. They were eating and doing all of this stuff. But you said, no, I can't be doing this. I can't put myself in fitna. I can't go to places where I might fall into haram on purpose or even accidentally. I can't even go into a place where accidentally my gaze might fall on something which might make my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry. So you sacrificed a lot. Allah ta'ala will call that person on the day. Allah will say, I am going to shade you in my special shade. Nobody else can go there. شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Because youngster is very hard. The old person, like our Amir Sahib in Jamaat used to say, he's got one foot in the grave and one foot on a banana peel. Any second he's toppling into his grave. Now bichara is the fear. Any moment I'm going to be leaving the dunya, what's going to happen? This person is going to, you know, I've got very short time. The young person will automatically, shaitan will make you feel, you've got such a long time ahead of you. But the young person says, I don't know. What if I go any second? Like Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi, the famous incident in Fadail al-Sadaqat, as the Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi brings, that he saw this young boy and he was looking at a fire and he was crying and he was weeping. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi said, wait, I've not seen adults cry as much when they see a fire burning. And he said, oh Malik, I've seen that when my mother lights the fire, she puts the small sticks first and then the big sticks. And that he had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the reasons why Allama, the author of Dalailul Khairat, The author of Dalail al-Khairat, his name is Kaisum Main, he wrote Dalail al-Khairat, a book on Durood Sharif. Beautiful book. Many of the saints of Allah Ta'ala would read this on a daily basis. You know, Ulam Yahra Umar Fadlur Rahim Sahib, Rahmatullahi Ali, he'd read the whole book every single day in the morning. After Fajr Salah, he'd sit and he'd read that. He was his ma'mul. Many of the pious people, and you know, it creates the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These certain books that awliya have written, we shouldn't disregard them, because they create the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we are so much in need of this ishq and love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because without this, how are we going to be motivated to follow the sunnah? How are we going to be motivated to, you know, send this durood and salutations and salawat upon him on a daily basis? So the author, subhanAllah, his name has escaped my mind. Anyone know the author of Dalail al-Khairat? When he wrote this kitab, he says, why did I write this kitab? He says, once I was at this well, and I was standing near the well, and the water was all the way at the bottom, and I couldn't reach it. He said, while I was standing there, a young girl, she came, and she said, you want to get to the water? Said, yes. She spat into the well, and the water came all the way to the top. He said, I asked her, how did you manage to do this? This is a karama. It's a miracle. How did you manage to do this? She said, it's because on a daily basis, I am always reading Durood Sharif upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that motivated him to write his Dalail al-Khairat. SubhanAllah, the name is escaping my mind. So, and it's filled with the ishq of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, SubhanAllah. And all of these books are very important that we read. Hamare log jo hai Durood Sharif ki taraf zyada tawajjuh nahi dete. You know, dusri cheezon mein hamari tawajjuh hoti hai. Durood Sharif jo hai, isse insaan ka dil jo hai naram ho jata hai. Aur isse bohut saare musibatein, pareshaniyan insaan ki zindagi se dur ho jata hai. And so many other fawaid, the qurb of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And mainly, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullahi in his Fazail al-Durood, he mentions that the main maqsad, purpose of durood is to fulfill the haq of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How else are we going to fulfill the right of Rasulullah? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's favors upon us are so weighty that we have no other way of fulfilling it except through durood. So we need to, on a daily basis, Wakabir mentioned 200 times, some mentioned 300 times on a daily basis, sending salutations, durood sharif upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's two things. One is durood and one is salam. One is durood and one is salam. Salawat and salam. There's two different things. Both of them are very important. Like when we do the tashahud, attahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu. So this is salam. So durood or salam. Dono cheeza bohat aham hai. Durood sharif, sending durood sharif, and sending salam upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this beautiful kitab, 40 durood, by Hazrat Shaykh Muhammad Zakariya Rahmatullahi Ali. iOS users, you can download it. MashaAllah, they've done a very fantastic job. The Prince of Mankind, something, fan club of the Prince of Mankind. MashaAllah, beautifully they've designed this app that you can download the 40 durood, Dalail al-Khairat, Qasida, Buddha, all of this is there on this app. On a daily basis, make it part of our ma'mul, the 40 durood. In there, there's 25 durood and there's 15 salam. So 25 salawat and 15 salam in there. So your salat bhi ho gaya, ada ho gaya, salam bhi ada ho gaya. Aur iske upar, you know, apne bas ke mutabik, insan jo hai, 100 dafa durood bheje, 200 dafa durood, 300 dafa durood, chalte pirte durood sharif, chalte pirte durood sharif. Insan ka dil bhi naram rehta hai, mizaj bhi jo hai, mianarvi, matlab mizaj mein mianarvi rehti hai. Zyada garam mizaj bhi nahi hota. A person remains calm tempered. Durood sharif has, subhanallah, so much effect on the main. Muhammad al-Jazuli, Jazakallah, Imam al-Jazuli. Imam al-Jazuli, Jazakallah, Amir sahab, mashallah, very good. Barakallah fikum. So Imam al-Jazuli, rahmatullahi alayhi wa dalail al-khairat. Anyway, so we shall continue. وعن البراء بن عازب رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال المسلم إذا سئل في القبر يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله فذلك قوله تعالى يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة متفق عليه. سيدنا براء بن عازب رضي الله تعالى عنهما روايت فرماتے ہیں رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سے کہ اللہ کے پیغمبر صلى الله عليه وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ مسلمان کو اپنے قبر کے اندر جب سوال پوچھ کی جاتی ہیں منکر و نکیر سے سوال کرتے ہیں اور مسلمان یہ گواہی دیتا ہے کہ اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی کے سوا اور کوئی معبود نہیں ہے عبادت کے لائق اور محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی کا پیغمبر ہے تو یہ اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی کی اس آیت کا مطلب ہے جس آیت کے اندر اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی ارشاد فرماتے ہیں كيثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. کہ اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی مضبوطی کے ساتھ قائم رکھیں گے ان لوگوں کو جو ایمان لاتے ہیں, دنیا کے اندر بھی مضبوط قول کے ساتھ اور آخرت میں بھی مضبوط قول کے ساتھ. تو اس آیت کا مطلب یہی ہے کہ جب مسلمان قبر کے اندر چلے جائے تو اللہ تعالیٰ اس کو توفیق دیتے ہیں کہ مطلب کلمہ شہادت اس کی زبان سے نکلے اور منکر و نکیر کی سوالات کے مطابق وہ برابر جو صحیح جوابات ہیں وہ دیتے جائے. سیدنا براء بن عازب رضی اللہ تعالی عنہما narrates رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has stated that the believer, when he is asked in the grave and he bears, testifies that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah ta'ala's messenger. Then this is the meaning of the verse of the Quran that يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep steadfast those who have brought iman in the life of this dunya and in the akhirah with قول الثابت, with a firm statement. So the ulama have discussed at length what is al-qawl al-thabit. But here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying the qawl al-thabit in the akhirah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, firm statement, meaning at a time of need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us to say the correct words and the correct statements, which is in the grave. It sounds very easy, you know. Munkar al-nakir will come. Man rabbuka, ma deenuka, man hadha al-rajulu alladhi bu'itha fikum. Three questions. Sound very easy. But a person will only be able to respond in accordance with how much of those statements were applicable in their daily life in the dunya. Well, if they were very far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were very far away from Islam, they will become so terrified when ki zuban se koi jawab nahi niklega. They won't be able to answer, even though they know the answers. Very easy. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, are we going to be in our own senses? Or are we going to be in some kind of trance where, you know, we're not speaking, it's some kind of automated response? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you are going to be in your senses. So if every single one of us in our senses, how can we get those answers incorrect? It's terror, fear. Due to all of the sins that were committed in the dunya, it won't let us give the correct response, won't be able to reply. And then Allah's adab will come. But someone who lived life, they're confident, Alhamdulillah, to the best of my ability, I live life according to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shown by the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I have this confidence in the dunya, then in the grave Allah ta'ala will give me that confidence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for me. But it's a very cutting, very mushkil marhala hai. So Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to, when he was on his deathbed, Sayyidina Amr bin As, the great sahabi, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, is brought in Riyadh al-Salihin and authentic hadith. He mentioned to his family members that when I pass away, first of all, nobody cry. Ye jo hai zor zor se chilla ke rona, ye cheez mat karna. Iske wajah se jo qabar ke andar hai, us par Allah Taala ka azab bhi aa sakta hai. So don't, because the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi mentions al-mayyitu yu'adhabu bi bukai ahlihi alayhi. That the mayyit, the deceased person, is punished because of his family members screaming and crying for him. So the ulama say here, as long as you educate your family that when I die, don't do this, as long as you make an effort to give them the correct Islamic education, then that's not applicable to you. But if you didn't do that, you didn't teach them, you didn't educate them, and now they're screaming, crying, and saying all kinds of, you know, things when you pass away, then that person will be punished. Look at your family members. You've not even been gone 2 minutes. Look at what they're doing. Your responsibility, your priorities were all wrong. You didn't give them a good Islamic education. You haven't left the world 2 minutes. They're already doing the wrong thing. Beyond that, what guarantee do you have? And it's all your fault. You could have, you know, at the end of the day, hidayah is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, you could have made effort, but you chose. بچوں کو یونیورسٹی میں بھیجو, اسکول میں بھیجو, ڈگری, جاب, بس ہو گیا اپنی محنت. اس کے اوپر میری کوئی محنت کی ضرورت نہیں ہے. بچہ بے نمازی ہے, اللہ تعالیٰ کے ساتھ ان کی سرے سے کوئی تعلق ہی نہیں ہے, نماز بھی نہیں پڑھتے, دعا بھی نہیں کرتے, حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے ساتھ دور دور سے تعلق نہیں ہے, اس کی ذمہ دار کون ہوگا؟ سو اس کا تو فکر ہونی چاہیے. وی ہیو ٹو ہیو دس فکر اینڈ کنسرن. فکر بھی ہو اور انسان محنت کرے, اس کے بعد, اس کے باوجود بچے جو ہے بات نہ سنے, اس کے باوجود بچے جو ہے دور رہے, تو انسان اس کا ضامن ذمہ دار نہیں ہوگا, کیونکہ میں اپنے بس کے مطابق میں نے محنت کیا. اس کے علاوہ تو یہ ان اللہ یہدی من یشاء, اللہ تعالیٰ جس کو چاہتے ہیں ہدایت دیتے ہیں. سو سیدنا عمر بن عاص رضی اللہ عنہ, he mentioned to his family members, when I die, First of all, nobody should wail and cry and scream. And secondly, I want you all to wait near my grave as long as it takes to slaughter, yanharu jazuran, as long as it takes to slaughter, do nahar of a camel. The slaughtering of a camel is called nahar, where they, you know, stab it with a spear, because camels are very difficult to slaughter. So this is nahar. As long as it takes to slaughter a camel and distribute the meat, it's about hour, maybe 2 hours, I want you to stand near my grave so that I become comfortable in my grave. And do dua for me, do tilawah for me, because that's a very difficult time for me. I've just gone into my grave, I'm in wahsha, I'm in such a strange place, alone in a ditch in the ground. SubhanAllah. But one day every single one of us will end up alone in a ditch in the ground and my family members are there. If you all run away straight away, you've left me here. I've not even had time to get acclimated and accustomed to this strange place. But if you wait around and you're doing duha and I can see the effects of that coming in, you're doing tilawat of Quran, I can see the effects of that coming in, then I will become comfortable. Once I'm comfortable, you can go. Inshallah, I will be able to answer the questions properly. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, before the footsteps of the family members even fade away, the angels come and they start their questioning. So as long as the family members are there, then the questioning doesn't start, as long as they're busy engaged in tilawah and engaged in dua of maghfirah. It's very important. How many times do we go to the janazah, the qabristan? But people just put this person in the khadde, dala, abhi dafnaya. لوگ پتہ نہیں کن ایران توران کی باتوں میں مصروف ہوتے ہیں, کام میں کیا ہو رہا ہے, گھر میں بیوی بچوں نے کس طرح پریشان کیا, یہ وہ بس. پیپل آر ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ نان سینس, اینڈ سم ٹائمز یو فیل یو آر دا اونلی پرسن سٹینڈنگ ڈوئنگ دعا فار دا بیچارہ, ہز فیملی ممبرز آر ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ نان سینس, واٹ وینٹ آن آور ورک. سم پیپل آر ایون یوزنگ بیڈ لینگویج ڈوئنگ غیبت, دے ڈوئنگ غیبت رائٹ دیئر ویئر بیچارہ ناؤ از ان نیڈ, ہز سکریمنگ فار آور ہیلپ. رائٹ, پیپل ہیو نو آئیڈیا. ونس آئی وینٹ ٹو اے گریو یارڈ اینڈ مائی ہارٹ میلٹڈ. There was a lady who was there who was crying, had a dupatta on, and she was playing the Quran from her phone on YouTube in front of someone's grave. She didn't even have the ability to recite tilawah herself. Maybe it was a time she wasn't reciting, but I just, for a good half an hour, there was a whole, we were there for another burial. She was sat in front of a rishtedar's grave, apne phone se jo hai Quran Majeed ki tilawat aa rahi. Isse bichara murdar ko kya fayda hoga? Kuch bhi nahi. A recording playing from the phone. I felt, subhanAllah, look how important it is to educate our family members. You know, recently in Batliya, a Maulana passed away, forgotten his name, in his 90s. Someone wrote his obituary. Obituary is Urdu mein kya kehte pata nahi. He passed away, dunya se wo chale gaye, to kisi ne unka jo sawane hai, mukhtasar andaaz mein likha. Bichara, 90 saal se zyada umar. روزانہ جب سے ان کے والدین کی وفات ہوئی, روزانہ بیچارے اپنے انتقال تک روزانہ اپنے والدین کی قبر کے پاس جاتا تھا اور وہاں جا کے ایک دو گھنٹہ مسلسل تلاوت قرآن کرتا تھا. 90 سال, he was more than 90 years of age. He would go every single day to his parents' grave until he himself died. This is وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُو لَهُ. انسان جب دنیا سے چلا جاتا ہے, تین ہی چیزیں ہیں جو اس کے لیے فائدہ مند ثابت ہوتے ہیں قبر کے اندر. ایک ہے نیک اولاد جو ان کے لیے دعا کرتے رہتے ہیں. Yeah, so when a person leaves the dunya, there are three things that benefit them. That's it. One of them is pious children who continue to make dua for you. Our focus is not this, that the life of this dunya for me is what, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the age of my ummah is between 60 and 70, so we're all going to go very shortly. But we don't worry about the fact that when I'm in my grave, I'm going to be there for maybe a very, very long time. What will benefit me? Knowledge, beneficial knowledge, which I have passed on. People are doing it. I'm in my grave, somebody's salah is coming into my grave. Somebody's zakat is coming in. Somebody's sadaqah is coming in. Somebody's hajj is coming in. Somebody's tilawat is coming in because I advised someone and they now they're doing it. I advised one person. He changed his whole family members. They changed their family members. MashaAllah, brothers are here in Jamaat. They are more better suited to sit here and talk than me. MashaAllah, they're in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spending from their own money and going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One person whose life is changed, that could be our akhirat, because that person could change their family members change their family members, and the chain goes on. SubhanAllah, so you're lying in your grave and you're just cashing in. Everybody's hajj and everybody's namaz and everybody's zakat and everybody's tilawat of Quran. So ilmun yuntafa'u bihi. And sadaqatun jariyatun. That a continuous sadaqah. You build a masjid, You built a house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You built a well somewhere. People are benefiting, drinking from that well. You know, you've helped someone out. These are sadaqa jariya and waladun salihun yadu'ula. These are our investments. Everybody now is investing. MashaAllah, everybody's investing. Quick, easy money. So understandable. You know, even the children come and can do forex, can I do cryptocurrency, can I do Bitcoin, can I do this? All of that. Everybody wants to, because they see the social media life. In social media, they say, oh, I was very poor and then I invested in this and now look at me, I'm in the Maldives. And now everybody says, we need to invest and go to the Maldives. So they're all doing it. But the real investment in this is the investment of the Akhirah. Invest in this dunya. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. Best investment we can make is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, who is there that will give me a loan? I will give it back times multiplied immensely. I will give it back and you're just going to be cashing in the profit. Give me something, small thing. Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu anhu heard this verse. And then, لَنْ تَنَارُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You cannot attain piety until you spend from that which you love. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, I have an orchard, the most beautiful orchard in Medina. It was called Biruha. Rasulullah, and it was right next to Masjid al-Nabawi. Many times Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after finishing the salah, he would go into this garden and he would walk in there. He would drink from the water in there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoy walking in that garden. Beautiful garden. They mentioned he had 100 date palm trees. So, Ya Rasulullah, this garden of Biruha is the most beloved thing to me. I want to give this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go and spend it on your family members who are in need. So he went and he gave it to his family members. Sahaba did this. The real investment is the investment of the Akhirah. Akhirah, Akhirah. Always in front of us, Akhirah. Dunya is just 2 days. Allah ta'ala gives me and all of us the understanding. We'll do one more hadith inshaAllah. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الكافر إذا عمل حسنة أطعم بها طعمة من الدنيا وأما المؤمن فإن الله تعالى يدخر له حسناته في الآخرة ويعقبه رزقا في الدنيا على طاعته. وفي رواية إن الله لا يظلم مؤمنا حسنة يعطى بها في الدنيا ويجزى بها في الآخرة وأما الكافر فيطعم بحسنات ما عمل بها لله تعالى في الدنيا حتى إذا أفضى إلى آخرة لم يكن له حسنة يجزى بها. رواه مسلم. سيدنا أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه رواية فرماتے رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ بلا شبہ کافر جو ہے جب دنیا کے اندر کوئی اچھا عمل کرتا ہے, کافر کا تو عمل ہی نہیں ہے, چونکہ عمل ہونے کے لیے, نیک عمل ہونے کے لیے ایمان شرط ہے, تو مطلب کوئی اچھا کام کرتا ہے, کسی کو مدد کر لیا, کسی کی مطلب ہمدردی, حمایت, جو کچھ ہو, کسی کو کچھ کھلا دیا, پلا دیا. تو کافر جب دنیا کے اندر کوئی اچھا عمل کرتا ہے تو اس کی وجہ سے اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی اس کو دنیا کے اندر ایک لقمہ کھلا دیتے ہیں. Meaning his reward is given in the dunya. A kafir, when he does a good deed, a good action. Otherwise, disbelievers, they don't have amalun salih. Amalun salih is for believers. It's for mu'minun. For kafir, it's just a good deed. You know, a good action. Kindness, charity, whatever else it is. When they do that, in lieu of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a morsel of food in the dunya. Meaning it's whatever reciprocation, I think the word is, that Allah ta'ala will give it in the dunya. You've done a good deed there. So you'll see those who are generous, those who are kind, those who are hospitable, even those who are disbelievers, they live good lives in the dunya. So Allah ta'ala gives them that. Person's a good person, give them good life in this dunya. But in the akhirah, وَمَا لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. They have no share in the akhirah. Because for akhirah, to have anything in the akhirah, iman is conditioned. Iman is conditioned. However, وَأَمَّا الْمُؤْمِنِ مسلمان بہرحال مسلمان جو ہے فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَدَّخِرُ لَهُ حَسَنَاتِهِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی اس کے لیے اس کے نیک عمل کو ذخیرہ بنا کر آخرت میں اللہ تعالی اس کو جمع کر رکھتے ہیں. وَيُعْقِبُهُ رِزْقًا فِي الدُّنْيَا عَلَى طَاعَتِهِ. لیکن ساتھ ساتھ اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی اس کے پیچھے پیچھے اس کی رزق بھی بیچتے رہتے ہیں دنیا کے اندر اس کے نیک عمل کے مطابق. سو the believer, the mu'min, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about the disbeliever? That the disbeliever, their good actions in the world are reciprocated in the world. They do good deeds, Allah ta'ala gives them some food, happy life, enjoy, and that's it. But for the believer, Allah ta'ala reserves and hoards for them their reward in the akhirah. When they get to the akhirah, they will see their real reward. It's going to be nothing like the stuff of this dunya. This dunya will just seem, I will get to that. Allah Ta'ala will reserve for them their reward in the Akhirah. However, along with this, Allah Ta'ala will increase them in their rizq according to their deeds as well. So the more your deeds are in accordance with the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the more easy it will be for your rizq to come to you. And the more the more our deeds are, you know, breaking the commands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the more further and distant our rizq will always seem. Poverty is always on the brink. Financial struggles, financial hardships. In Ibn Majah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hadith is mentioned, Sunan Ibn Majah, that man kanatil akhiratu niyyata, man kanatil dunya hamma, farraqa Allahu anhu amrah, wa ja'al faqrahu bayna aynay, wa lam yatihi min ad-dunya illa ma kutiba la. That whoever's intention for doing actions is dunya, pleasing people, just life of the dunya, Allah Ta'ala will scatter all of their affairs. Iske piche bhagta hai, that one gets away from him. He goes towards that one, this one's getting away from him. He can't keep control of his life. His life is a mess. وَفَرَّقَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَمْرَهُ وَجَعَلْ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala will keep poverty in front of his eyes. Always fearful, I'm going to become broke. Always. وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ. And at the end of the day, in terms of the portion of this world that will come to him, it will only be whatever was written for him in the beginning. He's not going to get anything more than what Allah Ta'ala had written for him when he was still a fetus in the womb of his mother. This is the reality. And whoever's intention, then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes on to mention, whoever's intention is the Akhirah, jama Allahu lahu amra. Allah Ta'ala will just encompass all of his affairs for him. Everything easily done and dusted. No problem is a big deal, it's just easy, it's all done. MashaAllah, I was speaking to one of our Sathis long time ago from Luton. It was his daughter's wedding. And he said, wedding is really easy. You ask people, wedding easy. My daughter's wedding, oh, patane, headache from years. Gold, money, I don't know, hall, venue, hire. Said, wedding is easy. I go, how did you do it? He said, 1 week before the wedding, I started planning. I just went into the masjid, and I sat with the satis, and I said, beti ki nikah hai. They said, chalo, koi masla nahi. Hum mashwara kar lete. Main chawal launga, aap dal le aaya, aap gosht le aaya, abhi masjid ke andar finished, food done. He goes, no, he goes, I probably spent £100. Food finished. Wedding done, mashallah, happily ever after, inshallah. They've been married for so many years. No. But then you have people who come and say, oh, look, my wife is like this, my wife is like that. Abu Huraira knows I've mentioned this in class. My wife is a jinn, astaghfirullah. But this is what he said, actually. Because, bichara, he's married. Do you know how much I spent on my wedding? How much? £70,000. He said, but every time my wife's angry with me, I've got all these sports cars. Do you know what she does? What does she do? She goes with a hammer and she smashes all the windows. Do you want to see? I said, I don't want to, but he still showed me. Bichari, her hair was flying around. I actually thought, subhanAllah, something's wrong with this lady. Smashed every single window of his expensive sports cars. He said, this is what I have to deal with. And I spent £70,000. But there's no barakah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the nikah with the most barakah is aysaruhu ma'unatan. The one which has the least expenditure. So someone whose concern is always the akhirah, Allah Ta'ala makes things very easy for them. وَجَعَلْ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ Allah Ta'ala places contentment, satisfaction in their heart. Always happy, everything's okay. Nothing to worry about. No stress, no tension, no worry. وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَ The dunya will come to him even though he won't even want it. Dunya uske peeche bhagega. Woh dunya se kahega, chalo, get away from me. Like Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say to dunya, he said, بَتَّتُكِ ثَلَاثًا مَنَا تُجَهْ تِين طَلَاق دَي دِي Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu dunya ko khitab karke kehte te مَنَا تُجَهْ تِين طَلَاق دَي دِي kisi or ko jaake dhoka de mujhe aake mat dhoka dena go and غُرِّي غَيْرِي go and deceive someone else. I've given you 3 talaqs, 3 divorces to the dunya. Don't follow me. This is the reality. The pious people, they don't want the dunya even if it falls on their feet. So what am I supposed to do with this? People come and give them all this money and say, look, I only need this for my expenditure. All of this is extra. That's just going to be a headache for me. You're going to give me all this money. I'm going to be stressed as to what I'm supposed to do with this money. Just don't even give it. So many pious people we have like this who had this response. We've even seen the great Muhaddith Shaykh Yunus Jaunpuri, rahmatullahi alayh. He had this, subhanAllah. He was never married in his life. He passed away in his 80s. We've seen this. People would come and give money. Say, I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need anything. But when he came to spending, he had so much. Allah Ta'ala had given him so much barakah, he was just giving, you know, just give and give and give and give. So that charity does not decrease from our wealth. Sakhawat jo hai, sakhawat se Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala barhate hai. Allah Ta'ala kamate nahi hai. It's very, very important. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gives all the correct understanding to practice upon these few ahadith. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah,